This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper and the executive director of the World Sweeping Association. I'm speaking today with Damon Carson, who's the founder and president of Repurposed Materials Incorporated. One of the things, just to catch your attention right off the bat, that they arrange and accept are street sweeper mechanical brooms that are worn out. Primarily, they repurpose them out to the farming community for back scratchers for cows and that sort of thing, and I'll let him tell you more about that. But what you may not know is there are a variety of different kinds of materials that the municipalities and the larger contractors out there in the sweeping community are able to repurpose, and we'll talk to Damon about that. He's located on the outskirts of Denver, Colorado, with another office in Chicago, and by the end of the year, another in Atlanta. So there are quite a few choices available out there for repurposing through this company. So, Damon, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Ranger. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. This is one of those things that is happening more rather than less, and it needs to happen sooner rather than later. So I'm interested in some of the things you found that municipalities and contractors, and of course a lot of contractors work with municipalities as well, and they primarily, though, work with shopping centers and malls and the business community and have access to a variety of things that are going on that may be wearing out with the business community as well. So I'll let you talk about your company, maybe how you got started, and specifically how sweeping contractors and city municipalities might benefit from repurposing rather than landfilling.
Absolutely. Well, I'll start by saying what we are not. We are not a recycler. So by recycling, we mean chip it, shred it, grind it, melt it, like newspapers, like cardboard, etc. So that is not what we do. We're focused on the reuse side of the famous reduce, reuse, recycle triangle, the chasing arrows, Ranger. But typical reuse is a street sweeper, a forklift, and a dump truck. There is a huge secondary market for all three of those waste streams, public works waste streams, but in a second life, a street sweeper brush will stay a street sweeper brush, a forklift will stay a forklift, a dump truck will stay a dump truck. We are interested in byproducts and waste that can get a very different second life. We call that repurposing. So a old conveyor belt, long roll of rubber from a mine, a coal mine, for example, gets a very different second life. So in its second life, it doesn't convey aggregate, coal, sand, whatever. It may be a blade, a snowplow blade deflector in a second life. So you cut it off at 8 feet, hang it on your snowplow blade. In its first life, it was a conveyor belt. In its second life, its repurpose is a snowplow blade deflector. Or you cut it as skirting to put around the back of your sand dispensing machine for sanding roads and stuff in winter, and so the sand doesn't spray all over the cars behind it and stuff. So there's a case of repurposing.
And if I can just interject here a moment, depending on the thickness of the rubber, there are rubber flaps that go around the bottom of all street sweeper air sweepers and many of the broom sweepers also to, in the case of the air sweepers, create suction. And in the case of broom sweepers, as deflectors, side deflectors. So, there may be even be a market there that somebody can look
in. Yeah, even in different types of municipal applications. I mean, speaking of conveyor belt, they'll buy it as flooring. So they roll it out onto the floors when they bring in like bulldozers because they don't want them to tear up the concrete floor. Another application or repurpose for conveyor belt is if a municipal group is working on a golf course or on turf and, the skid steer or whatever, they roll that out and they run across that. They use it as a track mat. So, again, all kinds of repurposes for a roll of conveyor belt in municipal, landscaping-type applications. So, again, what makes a candidate for repurposing? Obviously, we mentioned the conveyor belt, but we go after byproducts and waste that are getting discarded. The three words we use, we look for materials and products that are generic, versatile, and adaptable. Generic, versatile, and adaptable. If you find something that fits those three words, then all kinds of possibilities open up. It's not public works, but certainly a municipal waste stream that's a classic example for repurposing, generic versus adaptable, is old fire hose, decommissioned fire hose that gets retired for all kinds of reasons. It might not meet a pressure test, but a lot of fire departments will just, you know, they have a preventative maintenance schedule, if you will, and, you know, every 5 years, 7 years, whatever their cycle is, they just replace all their hose. Fire hoses, you know, obviously they can be a low-pressure application for transporting water, but a lot of times they get used as boat docks. They wrap them around boat docks because it's just a really tough jacketed material. Another popular one, and this actually would have some potential contractor applications, they'll cut off, you know, 3 foot, 4 foot, 6 foot sections of hose, and then when they're chaining down a piece of equipment, like an excavator or a skid steer or whatever, they'll run the chain through that hose, and so then on any sharp part or on the 90-degree parts of the steel, they'll let that fire hose be a wear part, a protective sleeve, so they don't eat up and chew up their chains when they pull tension over that sharp metal object.
Sure, over their equipment.
Yeah, over their equipment. So again, generic, versatile, adaptable, all kinds of things. I mean, I think about something that we do well with is 55-gallon drums and 275-gallon totes. I mean, all kinds of products are brought into contractors and municipalities, and 270, I mean, it might be de-icing fluid, it might be different types of glycol, it might be motor oil, it might be fertilizers. You know, those, so obviously in a first life, that 275-gallon tote that's plastic, that's has the steel cage around it, obviously contained a product. In a second life, those become deer blinds, duck hunting blinds. You cut the tops off, they become trash cans that you can move around with your forklifts, all kinds of repurposes for 275-gallon totes because, again, they are generic, versatile, and adaptable.
Very good. You mentioned in our conversation prior to recording something about, for example, a light pole. What would you do with a light pole? What happens out of something like that?
Well, yeah, a light pole would be an example. Now, if it's a tapered light pole, meaning wider at the base, narrower at the top, that becomes a little more difficult. But if it's, you know, a straight pipe, you know, same diameter top and bottom,
Then it's a pipe.
Then it's a pipe, and then some horse owner could build a corral out of it, or you could, you know, build shelving out of it, or if you got a cutting torch and a welder, all of a sudden, generic, versatile, adaptable. There's all kinds of things you could do with that. And again, what's interesting is I said we're not a recycler. Most of these street light poles are, if they're unwanted, they go to a metal recycler to be again melted. In that case. But, again, on the waste hierarchy, reuse, repurposing is much higher than recycling. It has a much less environmental impact if you reuse or repurpose something than if you, obviously, recycle it by melting it down and all the energy-intensive activities that's involved in that.
You know, it strikes me that municipalities, if they're looking for, especially, oh, there's stormwater applications where you're building kind of some unique things as stormwater runoff areas to capture water or slow it down or filter it and those kinds of things. I mean, municipalities have a lot of unique things that they try to accomplish, and it strikes me that if they were near enough to your facilities where they could go and look at, you know, what's currently available, they may well find things that... creative minds.
One of the waste streams we have right now comes from a beverage manufacturer, and it's called filter cloth. They're about 6 feet by 10 feet filter cloths with a really coarse mesh, like when they press apple juice. But in a second life, those filter they're very, very tough. So it could be a filtration application where the engineering is, you know, there's still stuff can get through, but...
Where you're keeping those size particles out.
Yeah.
Just like
But another one, that tough jacketed material, a popular one for that is they make lawn debris tarps. So landscapers, golf course people, they'll take them because they're such tough material, and they throw their prunings, their leaves, their grass, and they can drag it back to their truck, put it in the truck, and, you know, so that's an interesting repurpose of an old filter cloth. So, again, no longer good to the first industry, food and beverage. Gets a second life, landscaping, golf courses, et cetera.
So it seems like the rule of thumb here would be that if you have items that are, you know, substantial enough that you're getting rid of, that they should, and you're in a reasonable distance from your locations, although we talked about trucking, of course, being available, better to have large amounts of materials so you can ship at least a half a semi-load at a time, brings down the cost. And if so, if they're trying to get rid of materials, it seems like a phone call to you to see what the applicability would be or the available repurposing might be. Of course, the price for all of that is going to change depending on what it is and how far it is. But you said that your goal in typical situation is to be better than the landfill cost if possible, and then you have all those bragging rights about doing the right thing. And I'd say the third thing is you are doing the right thing. Bragging rights aside, one of the things that I've long realized dealing with the street sweeping industry is when people talk about throwing something away, there is no away anymore, if there ever was. So it's certainly much better to repurpose than even recycle. And the sad fact is that most of it doesn't even get recycled. It just gets thrown away in a landfill and covered up someplace. So
yeah, if you have a byproduct or waste, you know, that's, again, three words, generic, versatile, adaptable, you know, a quick phone call, email with pictures, location, description, dimensions. Yeah, I mean, that's what gets the ball rolling, so that's nothing really hard about that since we all have camera phones with us, you know. Pretty easy to do that. Every deal is different as far as the economics, but, you know, for sure it's going to be, at minimum, we're going to reduce your landfill expense, which is a very real cost savings on any, you know, line item budget type scenario. And then, you know, and again, especially for your public works type folk, I mean, you know, doing right by your constituents, the population of your municipality, I mean, what a great story that, hey, not only are we saving a few dollars.
Every local newspaper would like to run that story about what their city public works department is doing.
It's a great way for an otherwise sometimes mundane department within the city that has trouble getting press, positive press. You know, plenty of press is generated when a water main breaks and floods a street or floods a house. But, you know, here's a chance to get some positive press.
I couldn't agree more. And then, on the other side of things, if you're within traveling distance of your location, which is actually in Henderson, which is an outskirts of Denver, also Chicago and coming soon Atlanta, then that's something where you could send somebody over and browse and see what's there and whether they have something, or call, I'm sure, and see whether there's something that might fit the bill in terms of reuse.
What ends up happening, and you know, we already talked about the conveyor belt, multiple applications for the conveyor belt in the municipal sector, but it's just interesting how a resourceful, smart engineer, project manager type can find a used material from some other industry and bring it in to solve a problem on, you know, within the municipal sector. I mean, again, it's still within municipal, but park and rec districts is an excellent example. You know, I talked about the filter clause, the conveyor belt. We have a customer that, you know, at the base of all these softball and baseball fields, the chain link fence comes down behind home plate, and of course balls always get under there and kids reaching. And you know, you can put wood or something, but we have municipalities that use conveyor belt as a skirting in that application. So, and again, in that case, it's, hey, municipal employee, not only are you, by buying used, not only are you saving your taxpayers' money, which obviously anyone would applaud, but you're also, again, helping another industry keep something out of the landfill. So, again, it's a win-win. And we often get asked, does repurposing make more sense environmentally or economically? Well, in fact, it makes great sense both ways. And another way we say the same thing is repurposing is at the intersection of affordability and sustainability. I mean, you're getting both plus by repurposing.
Well, that's very good. I really appreciate the information and hope that it sets a germ of idea in some people's heads about what can be possible. and just to think about things in it. Sometimes it's easy, or you think it's easier, to throw things away. In other cases, and I hope that this is by far the majority, when it comes time to throw things away, people are real reluctant to do that because they know it just, every time, for example, that I go to my bank and they give me if you want a cup of coffee, there's a plastic cup there, and feel guilty as can be having a cup of that coffee, knowing that the plastic cup is going to be around for a few thousand years, and I used it for maybe 8 or 9 minutes. This gives us an opportunity on a larger scale through our businesses to make a contribution to the planet and to ourselves, to our constituents, to our customers. I think it makes just a lot of sense. Is there anything else that we haven't covered, Damon, that you think we should say?
No, I think we've given a very good cross-section of a new mentality, a new way to look at waste streams. And unfortunately, it's probably waste streams you're walking by every day, and you think the only option is the trash can. But again, generic, versatile, and adaptable, that makes it a candidate for repurposing. There may be that second unrelated industry, the cranberry farmer in Michigan, a copper miner in Arizona, or a golf course superintendent in Florida that says, hey, contractor or municipal public works official, I could use that to solve a problem in my operation and help you keep that out of the landfill.
And there's no way for you, the public works guy getting rid of your materials, to know who that second user would be, and that's the where the middleman of repurposed materials comes in, and that makes perfect sense. So thank you very much, Damon. We've been speaking with Damon Carson, who's the founder and president of Repurposed Materials. They have offices in the Denver area as well as Chicago, and it's coming soon to Atlanta. Use the information that we've given in the podcast to kind of tickle your brain to see what you might do that's different from what you've been doing. And if you are in those areas and have a need for materials, give them a call and see what they have that would fit your bill. Thanks again, Damon.
Hey, thanks, Ranger.